Welcome, Grandview. This is Jody Sparger welcoming you into this podcast service for September 6th, 2020. If you have a Christ candle with you, I'd invite you to light it now. And whether you were able to light a candle or not, I would invite you to take just a moment to ask the light of Christ to reveal the presence of Christ's kingdom around you. Look around for a moment. How is the love of God being revealed to you? Joy is talking about faith that is rooted in the deep love of Jesus, that calls us into action in love of God and neighbor, but faith that isn't just an idea, but faith that is embodied in practice. And she's going to explore the second chapter of James with us around that theme. The kingdom of God is realized wherever love is manifest in justice and shalom. And the kingdom is not realized where there is injustice. So this day, as I acknowledge the unceded territory of the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh, whose lands, the land upon which I am recording and living and working and playing, may this naming be a prayer for God's kingdom to come, injustice on this land, love made manifest. And may it be a prayer of gratitude as well for the witness of those nations to the goodness of God's creation and their care for it. As we enter into worship in song, I want to invite you to ask how God's love is being embodied and made manifest to you today. As we sing of that love, where is it being revealed?
The love of God is greater far than time or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest the lowest hell, the guilty pair.
Now we enter into a part of our service where we offer up our prayers. Please pray with me. God of justice and compassion, we bring to you our concerns today. We pray for our world, our neighborhood, and ourselves. For students preparing to go back to school, but not knowing what that will look like, we ask for your comfort. For teachers preparing to go back to school, but not knowing what that will look like, we ask for your guidance. For parents trying to figure out how to balance childcare and work, we ask for your providence. For LGBTQ university students who will be continuing their studies online in homes that are not safe, we ask for your protection and comfort. For all those worried about an increase in COVID numbers in the fall, we ask for your peace. For our neighbors whose immune systems make them more vulnerable, we ask for your protection. For those who are separated from friends and family, we ask for your presence and love. You can now take a minute of silence to lift up your own prayers to God. Together, let's respond to all these prayers with, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
The scripture for this week is taken from James chapter 2, verses 18 to 26. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. Thus the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the sex worker also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Hi, this is Joy. We're continuing our study of the book of James today. Now, a reminder here that James is writing to some of the earliest Christians that had been scattered from their homelands. They are no longer rooted together where they could draw on familiar rhythms or shared practices that would have shaped the ways that they lived out their faith in Jesus. I'm guessing it was a deeply disorienting time. And I'm also guessing we can relate. You know, when what has been familiar has been disrupted, it can be challenging to know what are the essentials to hold on to. What are the things in our faith that really ground us? What are the pitfalls that we might want to avoid in such times? Well, our specific verses today, chapter 2, 18 and onward, James calls attention to one of the key essentials in having a living faith, and that is that your faith needs feet and arms and a tongue. In other words, your faith needs to be embodied in action. This is how you have a living faith, he says. Now, this might sound obvious. Usually the essential things do. But it seems that James's audience were actually forgetting this. They were more concerned about believing the right things over how those beliefs were lived out. Now, interestingly, some people have characterized Christianity in the West as being kind of similar. I was listening to a Latina minister and activist from Chicago this week named Sandra Maria Van Opestal. She was giving a fiery talk on the intersection of worship and justice, and she said this: Western theology has been a theology about thinking and intention, not a theology of embodiment or action. Western theology has been a theology of thinking and intention, not a theology of embodiment or action. She was a friend of James. You see, James is all about embodiment and action, and he has very little patience for mere thinking or even the best of intentions. In fact, James says, hey, you believe God is one? So what? Even the demons believe that and shudder. For James, the gospel is something that has legs. Jesus' love is something that's embodied. Faith is something that's worked out in the real life, nitty-gritty action. To make his point that faith and action always belong together, James gives two examples in our passage today. First, he appeals to the quintessential Jewish ancestor, Father Abraham, who first covenanted to bless the world through his descendants. Abraham is kind of a key figure in Jewish identity. And the specific Abrahamic story that James points to in the Genesis story is where God instructs Abraham to take his beloved miracle of a son, Isaac, who was born to him when Abraham was 100 years old, and walk Isaac up a hill and offer him as a child sacrifice. Abraham obeys this heart-wrenching and incomprehensible instruction, which seems to fly in the face of any promise God has made to Abraham so far about blessing the world through Isaac. Well, you might remember that the very last moment an angel of God intervenes, Isaac is spared, and Abraham is commended for his obedience. James is saying here that Abraham didn't just sit down and say he believed in God's promises and faithfulness and covenant love. His faith had feet, and these feet carried him up the mountain in what must have been the most difficult journey of his life. And this, James says, was credited to Abraham as righteousness. In other words, his action demonstrated that he was walking in the covenant ways in his relationship with God. It wasn't just nice and orderly set of beliefs in his mind or even about having nice feelings about God. His faith was living and it had legs and it led him in trust when all reasoning and personal feelings would fail him. Now, let me just say really quickly here that this particular story about child sacrifice, I know in our contemporary ears, is challenging, and it can be a stumbling block for some in trusting God's goodness. I can't address that right now, but I'm going to post online in the church resources section for this day a really helpful sermon that I listened to recently by a professor of Old Testament in Duke named Ellen Davis, so you might want to have a check, listen. But going back, James writes that it's through Abraham's actions that Abraham's faith is made complete. It's not just an expression of his faith, but somehow it actually fulfills and makes his faith more whole. Faith and works were working together, he says. They're not the same thing, faith and works, but they do complete the package. They're married together, and they are what expresses this friendship that Abraham had with God. Now, as we're thinking ourselves about what it means to put faith into action, I want us to remember, though, that this story of Abraham, this kind of climactic story, was a long time coming. This kind of active friendship with God was part of a decades-long journey of trust, and often that looked very basic, like getting up in the morning and walking in the direction from his earth land of Ur, where he'd been called, towards this unknown land where Yahweh was leading him. But it was a daily act of trust. Let's also remember that on several occasions, Abraham chose security and saving his own skin over leaning into trust. But even there, he discovered God's faithfulness to him, continuing to lead him on his journey of covenant love and friendship. It's because of God's faithfulness that Abraham is able to continue to press in and take these steps along the way that led him to this climactic moment of faith in action. Now, from this point, James moves to a second example. And while the first example probably wouldn't have been that surprising for his original readers, this next example, I'm guessing, would have come as a shock. Everyone expects Abraham to embody faith, but James brings up a different character, a Canaanite prostitute named Rahab. She's a woman, she's a foreigner, and she's a prostitute. Probably the last person his readers would have expected to be lifted up as a model of faith. Some might have even said, hey, James, this is not helping your point here. But I think it is. It's not only helping this point, but it actually is reinforcing something that he had just been teaching earlier in James chapter 2. Remember where he was challenging his readers about showing favoritism to the powerful and the rich. And he says, in fact, that God has chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and inherit the kingdom. And so here, by bringing in Rahab, by drawing on her and elevating her story as a model of faith in action, James is demonstrating this very kind of social reordering that marked Jesus's life and that James wants to make sure characterizes the early Christian communities as well. God gives this gift of faith and this kingdom to all, and especially to those who are often not seen or given a place. And so James highlights her particular faith in action, where she showed kindness to those and hospitality to those who were her enemies. Finally, James summarizes his main point once again. Basically, faith without deeds is dead. A living faith requires feet. I wonder today, friends, how God may be calling you to put feet on your faith. It's difficult right now to see very far ahead or to make tangible plans for the future. So let's bring it right down to the level of today and then maybe this week. What would it mean today or this week for you to take an embodied action step of trust deeper into the love of Jesus that calls us to love God and love our neighbor? Is there any area that God is inviting you to bring into better alignment, your belief and your action? For me, I'm stepping out right now by pressing send on this audio recording without attempting another recording. I've already done too many so far. I know this is far from perfect, It's my first podcast sermon. It's been pretty tricky to get right, but I'm in a season where God is inviting me to live deeper into the concept of good enough and trusting that God's Spirit can move through my meager and imperfect offering. So off it's going to go. How about you? Where are you being invited to put feet on your faith today?
My God, wherever I go, glory. Where I reap and where I sow, glory. When my hands, they grip the thorn, glory. In the still and in the storm,
in the air. Here at Grandview, we create a book called Love in the Time of COVID. This is Rosemary with your Grandview announcements. Yes, love is in the air. King Mong is engaged to his longtime girlfriend, Christine, whom some of you may know from pre-COVID church days. Tessa Warkentine was just married to Isaac. Annika and Andrew have just recently gotten engaged. Janice and David will be getting married in a couple of weeks. Wow, it's a lot of love in the air. In the same way that we hold celebration we hold grief together in community. We continue to pray for Michelle Miller, whose father passed away last week. And we want to offer prayers of blessing, peace, and protection to children, students, teachers, staff heading back to school this week. Several children and parents in our community have expressed anxiety about this. So we ask that the grace and presence of the Good Shepherd go with them and ahead of them every step of the way. Please connect with Melanie if you're a parent in the church who has not been getting emails from her about community news and other children and faith messages. Melanie is pretty certain that there may be some families she's been missing over these COVID months, especially as some of the babies in our community are rapidly becoming preschoolers. Her email address is melanie@gcbchurch.ca. That's for Melanie. Ruby would like people to know that she has had her first day of daycare this past week. She really liked it. The people were nice, and she was reading, and she ate a whole bowl of soup. So it was a successful first day. Alex and Asher O wanted to share the good news about a new addition to their family. No, it's not the same kind of addition that Meshach and Cecilia are waiting for. They have a new kitten. Her name is Ginger, and she's very sweet. JD and Peace both had birthdays on Friday. JD turned 22 and Peace is now 20. Happy birthday to both of them. Peace is returning to Montreal, so pray for her readjusting to life in La Belle Provence. And those are your community announcements.
Friends, in preparation for receiving the benediction is going to come a little differently to you today. So I want to invite you to get on your feet. There are three actions I want to invite you to take. First is simply in your body to adopt a posture of openness to God as a way of embodying a prayer that invites God to help make your faith manifest not just in thinking and intention, but in embodiment and action in the week ahead. I invite you to take on that posture now. If you need to use the pause button, feel free to do that as you find that posture and then come back to these next two items. Second thing I want to invite you to do is to commit to an action that you will take on this week. Joy invited us to think about an embodied action step of trust in the deep love of Jesus that calls us to love God and neighbor. What is one action that you can take this week as a step of trust in that journey, as an expression of your faith there? I want you to write it down or speak it out loud as you make that commitment. And thirdly, knowing that we are united by the Spirit of God, I invite you to reach out and just extend the peace of Christ to someone around you by text, by phone call, over the fence, or in some embodied action that you might take. Friends, go. May Christ's peace be with you and in you and extended through you to the world in great need of an embodiment of peace rooted in the love of God.